Well, the Lord's been talking to me this week about this subject. I've been thinking for some time about the things that it takes for us to make it to heaven and the things that we have to incorporate into our lives if we want to be successful in the Christian life, and what it takes for a new Christian or the mindset that we need to have and the things that we need in our life. I wrote on the board, endure, and I used to not like that word. It seemed like I was thinking, you know, that's endure. This salvation is something we enjoy. Well, we do enjoy it, don't we? But I want us to look into the scriptures a little bit, that we're going to have a mindset that we are going to be willing to endure some things to make it to heaven. And if we'll do that, I believe we can make it to heaven. But we will have to be willing to endure some things that are uncomfortable at times. In Hebrews 12 and 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. You know, this morning I want to look at that second verse a little bit, where it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. And he who for the joy set before him, it says, endured the cross. You know, today the cross means different, is a little different to us than it meant to the people in Paul's time and to the people in Jesus' time. The cross to them was one of the worst forms of death you could die. It was a horrible thing. Today, people wear crosses around their necks sometimes. Today, people, you speak of the cross and we sing songs, oh, the cross has wondrous glory. Well, oft we've proved it to be so. True, haven't we? But in Jesus' time, the cross didn't have that appeal to it, if you want to say that. It was a cruel, wretched piece of wood that was used. And it says, Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame. That word despising, it means to, part of that definition says disesteem. That's kind of what it means, to disesteem, or to consider with disregard. Jesus looked at the shame of the cross, at the pain of the cross, at the suffering that he was going to go through, and he looked at that with disregard for the joy that was set before him. And the Lord and the Word of God tells us to look unto him. That was our example. That was the one that was set before us. And for the joy that was set before him. Now, I believe that the joy that he had set before him was that the world could be saved, was that he would do the will of his Father. I believe Jesus was going to go to heaven anyway. But you know what? For the joy, Jesus was already in heaven. He came and he endured these things for something set before him. You know, this morning, there's a scripture in Philippians 2 and 5 that says, let this mind, I'm going to turn to that, Philippians 2 and 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. You know, we are going to have to adopt the mind of Christ. Christ did not come to this world to just have a good time. Now, we do have a good time lots of times, don't we? We have good lives. Many of us have wonderful lives. But I will tell you, we are going to have in our mindset that I'm going to endure some things if I'm going to go to heaven. I'm going to get it in my heart and my mind. I'm going to endure some hard things. And I'm going to be willing to endure those things. Jesus said, What man builds a tower that doesn't sit down first and count up the cost whether he has sufficient to finish it? Well, he counts up what he has. You know what we do? We count up what we're willing to pay, what we're willing to give for this thing. Is it worth it to us? I decided it doesn't matter the cost. It's a yes. Lord, whatever it is, it's a yes. I'm willing to endure. I'm willing to do the will of God, whatever that cost me. And you know, I believe though that it's not only a cost, but God pays more than anything else could pay in life. If we didn't have God, we would still endure things, only we wouldn't have the peace of God to fall upon. We would not have His comfort to come to, and the Word of God to uphold us and His promises. So this morning, I just want us to think about this little thought that let this mind be in you, which also was also in Christ Jesus. Now, I know that that's speaking a little bit of some different things than just this, but it goes on down in the 8th verse and says, "And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself." He found Himself as a man, just like you and me. And it says, "He humbled Himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." You know, I don't believe, we all know that was not an easy thing, even for Jesus. Even knowing He knew the Father, He had been in heaven, He knew God. He told them, He said, "Can I not call, don't you know I can call 12 legions of angels?" Jesus knew all of that, and He knew the pain that He was going to suffer. And He decided and determined, "I'm going to endure the cross for the joy and the good things that are set before us." Now, I don't know what all of us are going to endure in life, but I will tell you one thing we need to have is the same mind that Christ had. That whatever it is that comes before us, I want to go to heaven. I believe in God that much. I believe He's real. I think we, most of us here, believe that. Then let's cast ourselves upon Him. Lord, where else shall we go but to You? We know, I believe, that the ways of God are just. They're life. They're good. They're a blessing in people's lives. In Hebrews 6 and 13, it says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he swore by himself, saying, 'Surely blessing, I will bless thee, and multiplying, I will multiply thee.' And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." You know, Abraham patiently endured many things. He left his home, he left his place of security, and he suffered some real insecurities. He was afraid for his wife at different times. Abraham lived as a nomad, more or less. He lived in a tent the rest of his days. We find Abraham living that way. Do you think that would have been Abraham's call? Maybe not. But I will tell you what Abraham did. He was at peace. He was a man at peace. You can see it in the words that he spoke, in the things that he did. And Abraham, it says, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, this morning, we can be the same way. But we have to have the same mind Abraham had. He heard God's voice. He got up and followed God. The Lord said, "Get up, Abraham." And he told him he wanted him to leave that place. And he left that place. You know, this morning, God speaks to us and He calls us out of a place. He calls us out of sin to start with. And then later He calls us at different times. "Get up. I want you to move here. I want you to do this thing." Or He calls us to different things in life. And it's not always the thing we would choose. It's not always. But Abraham had a mind, "I'm going to serve God." He had faith, and his faith was something, it says, that God attributed to him for righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was attributed for righteousness. I want to look at some different... I want to look over here first in Hebrews 12. And 7. It says, if ye be without, I'm sorry, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? You know, this morning, there's different kinds of things we have to endure. Sometimes we have to endure chastening or punishment. Things that are there for correction, to correct us. You know, I have seen people that God's dealings with them, I have seen them charge God foolishly. I have seen them make accusations against God. I've heard it with my ears, and it makes my ears burn. I can hardly stand to hear it. But I will tell you, sometimes we have to just endure the chastening of the Lord. You know, the attitude that we have from that determines whether we receive the good that was supposed to be given. You know, the things that we are enduring are for a purpose. The things that we endure, God in the end has purpose in that for us. He wants to build us. He wants to use those things in our life that we endure because He has in mind something more than we have in mind. We have in mind that I like my life. I like it like it is. I want it to continue like it is. And God sees somebody a lot more perfected than that. He sees somebody a lot more useful than that. And so He begins to work with us, doesn't He? And He allows. I don't know all the reasons, but I know this. God has our benefit in mind, even when He allows things. I believe He's willing. And so when we're chastened, I want to mention a number of different things in a few minutes. When we're chastened, let's have a right spirit toward it. Let's just agree with ourselves that I'm going to endure it. I am going to allow God this place in my life, and I'm going to allow it to work what God wanted it to work in my life. In James 5 and 10, another scripture. There's lots of them, but I'm not going to read that many of them. It says, 5 and 10 of James, take, my brethren, the prophets who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. Behold, we count them happy which endure. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Now, you know, this isn't speaking of the end of Job, meaning his death. This is speaking of after he endured some things, what God blessed him with. We look back in the last chapter of Job and we see how that he had twice as much as he had before. We see that he had sons and daughters, beautiful daughters, it says, more beautiful than any in the land. God just blessed Job in ways that Job would have never expected. But I will tell you, those children had to grow up. It took time out of Job's life. It was a long time before he had those beautiful children again. And Job had to endure some things. He had to endure the loss of those things, the grief of those things. But all the time God was at work. All the time we see where it says, we count them happy which endure. I will tell you, we count them happy which endure. Not only for eternity, but I believe the Lord repays in this life. He says He does. And I've been a recipient of that. I know He does. Ye have heard of the patience of Job and had seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful. He's very compassionate. He had the deep compassions that He had on Job. Do you believe He'll have those same on us? Of course He will. We're God's people too. You know, when we serve the Lord and He touches our lives in different ways, as He does, all of us, it's not one or two, every one of us, in different ways, endure and settle it in our hearts. Lord, I'm going to endure the things that I don't like. And I'm going to thank You for the things that You do, as Job did. When all of his children got wiped out, right there at one time, I mean just one after, all these things happened, all of his things were taken away. What did he say? The Lord gave. and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That was Job's response. You know, that's not something beyond us. Did Job feel that way? I don't think so. I think Job was so filled with grief he could hardly live. But his faith, his obedience, his life was to God this morning. I want us to just think a little bit now of some of the things that we have to endure through life if we want to make it in. It's not all afflictions we have to endure. It's not all chastisements. We have to endure misunderstandings with one another. We have to endure misunderstandings between a husband and a wife. You know, it's easy at those times to just say, well, I'll just pack my bags, do my own thing. You know, God doesn't work that way. He's a God that calls on us to endure some things. And He wants us during that enduring to shine forth the glory of God. I believe that. Yes, we might be reeling, but I will tell you, we can still shine forth. There is a God. I believe in Him. I love Him. I serve Him. I'm obedient to Him. We have to endure those things. Misunderstandings can cause resentments, can't they? Misunderstandings, sometimes we don't see them as a misunderstanding. We just resent what happened or what was said. Why did they say that? You know, I've gone sometimes to somebody and realized, or they've come to me and realized, it wasn't that way at all. It wasn't said that way. You know, that instructs us, doesn't it? But if we don't endure those things, if we allow our feelings, our attitudes, our spirit to become infected by some foreign substance to the Lord, some attitude, some desire, something that the enemy wants to put in there, then we lose, don't we? But I believe if we'll endure, we'll find the joy that is set before us. I was thinking about embarrassments. You know, one of the real hard things to endure is an embarrassment, a real embarrassment, isn't it? It's hard to endure that. But sometimes we're called upon to endure those kind of things. We have to endure grief sometimes. Grief is a terrible thing. It's a hard thing. It can be from many different areas. It can be from just disappointment in life. Just disappointment. Why is it this way? It can be from losses of loved ones. It can be from many different things. It can be from just disappointment in things. And we have grief. But you know, the Lord wants us to not charge God foolishly. He wants us to not take up our own cause, but to take God's way in everything, to be obedient, to be faithful, to serve Him. I was thinking about enduring each other's differences. You know, we're different. I'm sure all of us has found that out by now. We're very different, aren't we? Some of us here are totally different. We're on different scales of life. We're on different things in life. Some have families. Some are past the point where all their children are gone. Some are in the middle. Some are beginning. Some are children. We're all different. You know, those differences, God made us that way. Thank the Lord. He made us different. And you know what He put in there with it? If we endure it, if we learn how to deal with it, if we learn how to deal with our differences, He made it to be a blessing to us. He made that different person to teach us things that we don't know. I don't know some things unless you tell me, because I don't see them that way. I don't see the other side of the mountain. You was on the other side of the mountain. You can help me with that. You know, this morning, our differences are God-given. I'm not talking about wicked differences. I'm not talking about doctrinal things that are wrong and evil. But I'm talking about our differences, the way we see some things and everything. It opens our eyes. And the Lord wants us to have patience with one another. He wants us to endure some of those things and to be a blessing to each other in that time. It's easy for us to just, in today's world, the spouse just runs off and leaves everything behind. You know, we can't do that this morning because God commands otherwise. We have responsibilities, don't we? And so we endure some things. People's shortcomings. You ever had to endure someone's shortcomings? Maybe their sharp tongue. Maybe their, how do you say this? On a job or whatever. Maybe they're a baby. Maybe they don't face up to things. Maybe they whine about everything. You know, do we just disregard them? You know, we have to endure that sometimes, don't we? We can't always get out of it. So what? Do we act like they act in kind? Do we act like the world and disappoint the Lord and leave Him without witness? Or do we endure those things patiently and take upon us the challenge that God has given us? Lord, I'm going to be in this trial that I'm in, and I'm going to endure it, and I'm going to shine forth the glory of God, because I'm going to get on my knees, and I'm going to find You in this thing. And I'm going to find Your grace in this thing that I can't change. Whatever it is in our life that we can't change, that we really can't, let's endure some things. This is a mindset. Let this mindset be in you. It was in Christ. He saw the cross. He could not change that. He said, Lord, Father, if You will, would You change this? Would you let me out of this? I'm paraphrasing. But God wasn't in that. And so He had to go through it. And Jesus endured that. And He accepted that and took it upon His shoulders. And He did not complain in that. In fact, He saw it all as part of God's plan. And when He was reviled, He reviled not again. Jesus was there. He was shining forth the glory of God, doing the will of the Lord in His life. Some people feel real sorry for themselves all the time. That's hard to bear, isn't it? Something we don't like to bear. Let's help them. Let's help them get past that and bear with people like that. God wants to make us into something maybe that we are not so much. You know, this morning, He wants to make us into someone patient. God wants to do that for us. He wants to make us into a patient person, all of us. He wants to make us into an humble person. And so He allows things into our life. And if we'll respond like we should, those things will be stepping stones, all of them. Will be stepping stones in our life. All of them, total. Everything will be stepping stones. He wants to make us into somebody that is kind in adversity. And we don't start getting unkind with people. The Lord wants to cause us to be kind and gentle with people. He wants to make us stronger than we used to be. And so I just want to put this little challenge out there this morning. I feel like the Lord's been talking to me this week. That God wants to work a work in us. He wants to make His creation in us. I was thinking about the glory of God. That when we see the works of God, we've got peaches that are coming off. We've picked about half of them on one of the trees. And you know, they just run with juice. They're just good. I can't hardly tell you how good they are. But I'll tell you this. It shines forth the glory of God. Because all we planted was a little old tree that somebody else planted a seed for. And you know what? Now it's producing the most luscious fruit. That's the creation of God. It brings glory to His name. This morning, can we let God work like that in our life? Only if we determine it in our mind that I'm going to endure some things. Because in the midst of the enduring, God wants to make something out of us. He wants to give us some grace and some strength and blessing that can't come really any other way. All right, in 1 Timothy 6 and 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Do you know that God wants to give us that. And there's only one way, I think, that we can really get it. I know the Lord gives us a portion of His goods when we're saved, when we're sanctified. But I will tell you, we have to go in and possess the land. We have to go in and take these places that maybe we haven't had as much as we wanted. Paul said in one place, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. How did that come? It came because Paul had to bear with some things. Paul had to endure some things he did not like. And in those things, Paul learned to be content in those things, in whatever state he was in. Whether he was up or whether he was down or whatever, he learned to be content. God wants to teach us those lessons this morning, to be content in whatever state that I am in. If I am in affliction, I believe God wants us to suffer in contentment. God has allowed this in my place, and I'm going to suffer there at this time. He wants us to learn those things. Contentment in adversity. You know, when we feel rejected or we feel irritated, it makes me think of the pearl. I know we've all heard it so many times. But that oyster and that grain of sand that gets in there and begins to irritate, we all know how it happens. There's a little film that God made that goes over that, and it covers that. And it goes over it again, and it covers it again, and it goes over it again. Now, sometimes we could just kick it out of our life. We could kick our irritation out of our life if we wanted, against God's will. But you know, the Lord has something He wants to produce in us. He wants to produce contentment in us, in the situation we're in. So when people look on our lives, not only we can have peace, not only we can have contentment, but others can see, I need God. That's what I need. I have troubles too. That's what I need. I need the Lord. I need peace in this time of trouble that I'm in. Peace in tribulation. I just wrote a few things down here. Peace in tribulation. Patient in tribulation. Joyful in tribulation. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. Maybe I'll just turn to that. 2 Corinthians 7 and 4. He said, great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. For when we were coming to Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. You know, Paul had the same kind of things we do. He said, we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, within were fears. Nevertheless, God that comforteth those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoiced the more. Because, see, Paul had written the Corinthians the first letter. And in that first letter, he had admonished them. He had gotten after them. And when he heard that they had accepted it, it brought much consolation to Paul. Don't you know that he was glad he endured and did the right thing and wrote that letter to these ones? That was something Paul had to do, and he suffered for it. But he said, I am filled with comfort. I am exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. And he went on there. We read it, talking about without were fightings, within were fears. All were troubled on every side. But you know what Paul found? I've learned whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. And we reap that today. We still hold those beautiful writings that he wrote while he was in prison, some of them. And he wrote them to us. It's a challenge, isn't it? In the fourth chapter and the fifth verse, 2 Corinthians, says, Second Timothy 4 and 5. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. In there is instruction to Timothy. And he said, you watch in all things, endure afflictions. Timothy, you're going to have some things come your way, and they're not going to be easy. I want you to endure them. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of thy ministry. I believe he would tell us the same today. In Hebrews 5, I want us to keep in mind that those costly pearls made by that irritation and pressure. That's what they're made under that kind of conditions. God wants to do that in us today, and we don't want to forget that. The Lord wants to make in our life something very costly. It costs sometimes a lot of us. It costs a lot of tears sometimes. It costs a lot of distress sometimes. But God is at work, folks. And we want to remember that and let him have his way. Let him work in our lives. 5:8-10, though he were a son of Hebrews, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. You know, the Lord himself suffered, and it says he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. I think we will learn some things too. But Jesus didn't have to suffer. And we're told to have the same mind he had. Let this mind be in you. Jesus didn't have to do that, but he did for the joy set before him. And I want to challenge us today. I want to tell you, when we're in eternity a few years, a few thousand years, aren't we going to think this, the toils of the road, will seem as nothing, the song says. When we get to the end of the way, I really believe that this morning. So when we see things, when we are disappointed, when we have to endure, let's endure patiently, realizing God, at the end of my way, he has a great reward for me. And not only at the end of the way, but I believe even in this life. 1 Peter 2:17, another set of scriptures. Honor all men. Listen to these verses, 17-25. Honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You know, this morning, sometimes we suffer wrongfully. We shouldn't have to suffer the things we do. Sometimes he says, honor the king. You know, Nero, I believe it was, had Paul put to death, didn't he? Nero had lots of Christians put to death. We shouldn't have to suffer that, but we do. And he says, even to our masters, or to, I guess he was probably talking to slaves here, but I believe it gives a principle for all of us. When we're in subjection to another, let's do it as a good job. Let's don't be a complainer on our jobs. This is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. The Lord takes it to a whole different level, doesn't he? If when you've done well, you suffer. You take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. And that's the little key. You take it patiently. Take it and give glory to God. People can see this man is very different than the other. This woman is quite different than the others that I have to deal with. For even hereunto were ye called. You know that we're called to these things? The Lord calls us to these places. He calls us in those places. And it says, because Christ suffered for us, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps. If we have the mind that I should never suffer, and some people do, I have found, some people have that mind. I should never have to suffer. If we have that mind, we'll never make it. We'll get bitter before the end of the way, or we'll change our mind. Because we will suffer. That we should follow in Christ's steps, who did no sin. Now we think we're right. We didn't do anything. But listen to what it's saying. Following Christ, his example, who did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Now he was the Lord of glory. He was the King of glory. Could not he have said to them, you wait one of these days, there's hell waiting on you. Jesus could have said that, couldn't he? Now that sounds pretty bad. But you know, we have to be careful how we talk to people too. He threatened not. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Listen to that. In the midst of all this, we are healed by the blessing the Lord left us. Don't you know he wants to bless people through our lives too? I don't think Christ is the only one that was supposed to bless other people's lives. For ye were a sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. In James 1 and 12, I know we're familiar with this scripture. It says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, when his time comes, and he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, you know, it goes on to say, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. God doesn't tempt us. He may allow us to be tempted. But, you know, this morning, the scripture says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Folks, we're going to have to endure some things. We're going to have to endure temptations of every kind. Temptations to be discouraged at times. Temptations of the flesh. Temptations of the world. Temptations that other people try to bring upon us. Temptations of when we're sick. The enemy, believe me, is going to try us. But you know what the Lord says here to us? Blessed. Blessed, happy is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried. Listen, we have to have a mindset that we will endure temptation. We have to have a mindset that when temptation comes my way, whatever form it may be, that I will follow God and I will serve him. And I believe the Lord will tell us, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. I want us to think about one more thing that we've already mentioned in other form. The Lord has something he wants to make in us. Let him. Allow him. The scripture says, let the peace of God. What does it say? Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in our hearts. Let God do his work in our life. Let him. We don't have to let him. Eve didn't let him. Adam didn't let him. But Paul did. Jesus did. The apostles, most of them did. All but Judas. We find many men and women. We see examples that have gone before us that let the Lord have his way. Let the peace of God fill their hearts. Because if we can choose to dwell on what we wish was different. We can choose to not endure patiently. We can kick. We can do all kinds of things, or we can let the peace of God rule in our hearts. I want to tell you something. God's trying to make something out of us. He has a vessel He has in mind in our lives, and He wants to make it and use it. Do you believe that this morning? That's what God's up to. He wants to make a vessel out of us that He can use that will be a blessing and a benefit to other people. A beautiful vessel. A vessel of use. A vessel of strength. A vessel He can count on. A vessel He can pour into and then pour out of. God wants to do that in our lives this morning if we will let Him. The Lord wants us to see His beauty. I believe if we'll keep our eyes on the Lord, if we'll keep our eyes on Him, He'll give us peace. If we'll keep our eyes on Him, the Scripture says He'll keep you in perfect peace and me. So Lord, bless us this morning. I believe what's more incredible to the world than anything else is watching a Christian be a true Christian, a real pillar, a pilgrim, somebody that doesn't settle their feet into this life, but lives the life of God, gives Him glory in their life, works for Him, lets Him use their life, lets God be glorified. I will tell you, that is an amazing thing when you see that, because we go through many things, don't we? And when we have the grace of God and people see us through the years, they see the growth, they see the difference, they see our lives changing more and more to reflect the glory and image of God. You know, when God does that in a life, that life means something. That's a life God can pour His Spirit through. He can pour it into you and out of you. And He will, if we'll let Him. Let's be challenged this morning to not be weak Christians. Not be shriveled up and dried up. But allow the power of God to work like He wants to in our life. And be willing and have this mind in us to endure the things God brings our way. To endure the chisel. To endure the hammer. Because when He gets done, there's going to be something emerge that He can be glorified in. Amen.